Blog Talk Radio
presents Applause Radio. Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we've got a great show for you. Another great show, I should say. They're all great. I have such a great time with everybody. Tonight we have a special guest. She's actually been on before, and I can't wait to catch up with her from our last chat. We've got author-writer Martha Bolton, and we're going to talk about her latest book. But last time we spoke, she probably has another book out. But before we get there, let me just say thank you to Andy Kahn from The Turtles last night. The what is the title? I can never get the title of the book. The most famous person you've never met. I think that's what it is. But what a nice guy. We're going to have him back on, Andy Kahn. So check that out. And congratulations to Marietta in Roselle, New Jersey, for winning the Thanksgiving Comedy Festival tickets at NJ Pack in Newark, New Jersey, New Jersey Performing Arts Center. How cool is that? And we're going to have some great tickets for even better events coming up, more exciting events, and it's going to be great. But let's get to our special guest tonight. She's joining us for our Veterans Day special. She couldn't join us for Veterans Day because she probably was all over the place because of her new book, which is Dear Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondence with GIs of World War II. Martha Bolton, welcome to Applause Radio Show again. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing good, and it's great to be back on your show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for coming back. I'm imagining that a lot has happened since we last spoke. I mean, you were on maybe over a year ago. I don't even know.
Yeah, a lot has happened. The book, you know, was released in March,
right.
And it's just gotten a great response from the public and GIs alike, and we're just having a wonderful time getting to know more and more GIs and their families, and we just came back, like you said, this time of year. It's been pretty busy. They had a book signing at the Hollywood Museum in California, and Hollywood, and that just went great. It was wonderful. And had some of the stars that were, you know, on Bob Hope shows, and they had the red carpet and lots of paparazzi. And then we went to the World War II Museum and had a book signing there on actual Veterans Day. So it's been a pretty busy time right now.
Yeah, I actually asked if you could join us on Veterans Day, and I was told you were book solid. So, I appreciate you coming back again and to help me commemorate Veterans Day, even though it's a couple days later. But Veterans Day should be every day. So, we should thank our troops every day and appreciate what they do. So now, for folks that don't remember you being on, let's just recap and let everybody know about the book. I mean, it's called Dear Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondence with GIs of World War II. And, you know, most know that Bob was the USO guy. I mean, if there was a USO guy, it is Bob Hope, right? So
absolutely. He gave 50 years to him. So,
Yeah. Yeah, pardon me. I'm sorry. So now when did this is stupid. Obviously he received letters probably right away. When did he start getting a ton of letters where it got to the point where, oh my God, I'm really, really affecting these folks?
Probably pretty soon after he started, you know.
That's what I thought.
Those first troops up in Alaska, you know, there's letters from them right from the beginning. But at the height of the war, he was receiving 38,000 letters a week.
Wow.
So it just built up to that. And, obviously it just kept going, because even after the war, they continued writing him. And then in the next engagement, they continued writing him. So it just, he just has a 50-year supply of letters that are, you know, funny and also moving and great historical significance. All of them gave a new insight into the war and into what the troops did for all of us. So
right.
It's a pretty incredible collection.
Right. And you know what? I don't think people appreciate the fact that, you know, they probably just say, oh, he's just an entertainer. He was entertaining. But no, that they don't appreciate the fact that these people and also Bob had a major bond here. You know, this wasn't just I'm going to get paid to perform for people. This became like a family.
And it did. And the letters say that. The letters reveal it, that, you know, they wrote to, you know, it wasn't dear Mr. Hope. It was, you know, dear buddy, dear pal, dear brother, dear dad. I mean, they just thought of him as their family. And then also what people don't realize is he was a major star. When he started this, he was a major star that took time out of his very successful career and did this. It wasn't that he did it for publicity or photo ops or anything like that. It became part of, he loved the audience. He loved the guys and he loved all of them. And I think some of those side trips that he would take into the hospital wards and seeing these young kids, 18, 19 years old. And then also looking out at the sea of faces of those young kids during the shows and realizing that a good portion of them, you know, might not make it through the next battle. And as it turned out, there was one show that 60% of the audience was killed in the next battle. And, you know, that gets inside you. You know, you not only the letters, but what you see and those faces in the hospital beds, in traction, and in various conditions, and it just gets inside you. So I think what started out to be, I really love this audience and their laughter, got to be, you know, those are my kids, and I'm going to be there for them. I mean, it was just this transition where they got into his heart. And then, you know, Bob got into their heart, and they knew above all other people, Bob Hope had their back. And so many things in the letters where they share were things that only, you know, they knew and Bob knew, and it wasn't things that made the news or, you know, that he told about it. These were just behind the scene things that he would do for them, meant the world to them, and they never forgot it, and he never forgot his promises to them.
Right. Now, oh God, I know Linda, his daughter Linda, helped work on this with you. So, and also you, prior to doing the book, you actually wrote for him for his shows and his a lot of his comedy. So I mean, when did the two of you decide, let's do this book, and what made you decide to do the book?
Well, I wrote for him for 15 years during the 80s and 90s,
mm-hmm.
and And then I had the opportunity to see these letters and realize what was in them. And so I talked to Bob and asked him if he had ever thought about putting them into a book, because I thought it would make a terrific book, a very moving book. And so he loved the idea of, and then he said, though, that they were so close to his heart, he didn't think he could, you know, get back into them and do the work and whatnot. But he suggested I get in touch with Linda, and so I did. And Linda grew up with the book, with the letters in the house.
Right.
So she was
right.
very familiar with them and was always curious about them as well. And so we started working on it, started, you know, doing some behind-the-scenes work on it and getting, you know, selecting which letters were good and you know, getting the groundwork done on it. And then what happens is, you know, you have other pressing deadlines and whatnot. And at the time, too, she was producing his shows, and so it was a pretty busy calendar. And so we did all of that, you know, continued working, and then, unfortunately, Bob passed away, and then I didn't know where the book stood, but I had never forgotten about it, and then she had not either, because she contacted me a few years ago and said, would you like to get back on the book and finish it? So I was so excited. Now, at that time, you know, again, when Bob was alive, the letters were at his house, but by then, when Linda contacted me, they were up at the Library of Congress. They had been donated up there. So I started going up to the Library of Congress to finish the research, and I would work on the manuscript, send it to Linda. She'd send it back with great suggestions, and we'd go back and forth and back and forth. And then the University Press of Mississippi got on board, and they were very excited about it. And then it was supposed to come out in 2020, but because of COVID and a lot of the events were getting canceled, so it came out in March of 21 this year. And so I think it's an even better time, because after 2020, we're all looking for hope.
This is
a perfect time for it to come out.
I didn't know that he knew about the book, so I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought you guys did it after he passed.
No, he was definitely aware of it, and aware, you know, that we talked about it and had meetings, and you know, yeah, he was very aware of it, but we didn't know, you know, what was going to happen to it, but we ended up finishing it, and it's a real love letter between the GIs and Bob, and a real tribute to all of them, with what, you know, for what they did for all of them.
Nice. And lots of pictures.
And they're from, you know, most of them are from his own collection.
Wow.
And so it's, there's like close to 250, I think, pictures, lots of pictures.
Did he ever say, or is it in the book, that he had like a close encounter with, you know, being in danger, or did he ever feel in danger?
Definitely. Numerous accounts of it, and the letters reveal it as well. The soldiers will write and say, you know, boy, that was a rough show you had. Sorry about the bombing, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, or we spent, you know, you guys spent the night with us huddled down in, you know, in protection and whatnot. And then also there was an incident in Australia where he was, they were flying in, and Bob wanted to try his hand at the, you know, controls, and it just so happened that as he's flying the plane, that one of the engines goes out. And they have a water landing, like Captain Sully, that the pilot took over. And then they have this water landing, and they ended up hitting the water first and then coming to rest on a sandbar. but they were told that had they hit the sandbar first, the plane would have somersaulted and exploded, and the whole troop, all of Bob Hope's troop was on board with him. So it would have been a horrible disaster. And they ended up spending they stayed in the town, and he went into town to make a phone call at the postmaster's office, and he was going to send a telegram to tell people that they were all okay as soon as word, was going to start getting out. And the postmaster didn't believe that it was Bob Hope, so he gave him a hard time. But, and then Bob ended up having to borrow money from the postmaster for a hotel because he didn't have anything on him.
Oh,
and
God,
town threw a party for them at the school gymnasium, and Bob put on his show for the whole town, and it was like 670 people or something like that. And they all stayed up until, the wee hours of the morning in the town teaching them the hokey pokey.
Oh, how funny is that? Oh, my God.
Yeah. And to this day, that town celebrates that on the anniversary of the day that Hollywood fell out of the sky into their town. They have a celebration and all things Bob Hope.
What town
that
is that again?
Well, it's down in New Zealand, but so it's that's just another one of the close, they were definitely in harm's way, and they would also go into, when the pilot would say the weather is too rough to go because Bob would want to hop to another island. After putting on a show at one, he'd hear about a nearby island that didn't have, hadn't had a show and whatnot. And so Bob would say, well, we can go. And the pilot would say, well, no, the weather's, too rough. And Bob would go, oh, no, we could do it. We could do it.
They'd get up
on the plane and go,
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. You can do it. We won't do it. How's that? Now, this is a really stupid question, Martha. I just don't follow it. Is the USO still around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
But
yeah.
I don't hear about it like when we were younger. We heard about it more.
Yeah. Well, they definitely are. They still do. And he's, he did it up until the end. His last military show was when he was 87 years old.
Wow.
And that's amazing, because he could have definitely retired, and he had earned it.
Right.
And he certainly could have afforded to do anything he wanted to do.
Right.
But,
And he did USO shows for Vietnam too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. He
yeah,
because
you.
He did it for every war and every engagement in his lifetime from World War II on. So
yeah, I think I may have mentioned this the last time we were on, or it's just been bugging me. But the only thing I remember at that time is seeing him doing a show on TV dressed in fatigues. So it had to be when he was doing Vietnam, because that's all I remember about Vietnam is seeing Bob Hope dressed in fatigues on stage doing his comedy, And
right,
it was great.
Right.
It was great. It was great. It was like you knew it was a bad situation, but you could just feel the love of how happy he was making everybody. And you felt for them, and it was just wonderful to see. And I could only imagine, even especially back then, not that it's not appreciated now, but back then there was no real entertainment. There was no TV and stuff. So to have a huge star like Bob Hope come and perform for you while you're over there saving our country or defending your country. And what a thrill for that alone.
Oh,
and just,
absolutely.
Yeah. I wonder who does.
Letters,
I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, even the letters, it you know, today they can get on, you know, email and that sort of thing, FaceTime and whatnot. But back then, a letter could take a month to get to you or longer.
Right.
And so that, you know, so a letter from Bob, you can imagine how thrilled they were to get something like that. And to answer your question, I guess I never got to answering the they came down in the Camden River, and it was near Laurieton.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
Wow.
And there's pictures of it in the book. There's they knew enough to take pictures, you know. And can you imagine there to save this plane that went down, and then you open the door and it's all of the, you know, the whole
right
hope troop, you know.
Right, like almost like a comedy movie to some degree. One of his movies, what you would see in one of his movies, you know.
Yeah.
So, oh man, I was going to ask you, not that you know, but like, who performs for the USO now?
Well, they still have, you know, Gary Sinise does a lot of work.
No, I know he does, but I mean entertaining, entertain wise.
I think, you know, still some of the comedians will go. They have different ones that they'll you know, take along and whatnot. And a lot of individuals will go where, like, Bob had his troupe. And they'll have, you know, some like, you know, Jay Leno used to go. And I don't know if he's still going. He may. But. You know, they'll have a single comedian will go, and then, you know, different stars will do it, but it nothing to the magnitude that Bob did it. I don't think.
Oh no.
It, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, because then we'd hear more of it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear anything about it. If it was somebody like Bob Hope, you'd hear about it. You know, these
right.
are obviously not Bob Hope. Level people, so yeah.
Well,
I don't mean
then,
any disrespect.
Right. No, and they in the back of the book we do list, and this is just for one summer, but the sizes of the audiences that Bob would draw, you know, there's 30,000, 48,000, 38,000, and these are in just one show, you know,
right?
22,000, it just. Thousands and thousands. They'd just line the hillside. What, you know, wherever they could sit. It's pretty incredible the crowds that he would draw. And then, not only would he do that, but then after that show, if he, like I was saying, if he heard about a small group that didn't get to see the show, he'd go, you know, find them and. Park
out of his way.
Jeep or park a truck and just put on a show for them.
Right, and go out of his way, and do it.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, I think I may have asked you this last time as well, and if I did, I apologize, but I'm hoping that you were working on it at least, but, you know, he did Vietnam, like all the other wars. Are we going to do another book to mention the other wars, or only sticking to the World War II?
We're looking at that and deciding, you know, what shape that'll take and how we want to handle the rest of the wars and seeing what kind of an angle. I got a couple of ideas that might work, and so we'll see. But hopefully there'll be more. Yeah.
Well, there's plenty to give, right? That's for sure. It's not like there's a shortage of what. It's not like there's a shortage of what you could put out.
Did you say earlier,
or did I mishear you when you? I thought you said that they still write today.
Well, they some we have received letters from. You know, what's been interesting is receiving letters from people that want to know if a relative of theirs had ever written Bob, you know, so it's that sort of thing. I'd love to.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, I've gotten letters from people that, like one person wrote that their uncle was on the same when Bob and Dolores had to leave England. This is at the start of the war and start of, you know, the America's involvement in the war. And they had to come home on the Queen Mary, and that her uncle had been on that same ship, and just validating some of the way he had described it, where they were sleeping all over, you know, the ship, and the uncle had, in his talk with her, had validated that they'd even drained the pools on the ship, and people were sleeping in that. So,
crazy,
interesting.
Oh God, what was I going to ask you? Oh, I forgot now. Oh geez, I always lose my train of thought because I get so involved in our conversation and I'm enjoying, and I forget what I was going to ask you. Oh man. Oh God. I'll get it. Don't worry, it'll come back to me. So now it will. You mentioned something in what you were just saying, and I wanted to bounce off of you on that, and I can't remember what it was that you said when you started the conversation, because it stuck with me, and I went and anyway.
It happens to us all.
It'll come back, I promise. It'll come back. So, that's what I wanted to ask you. I bet with the book, you're getting a lot of people reaching out now and asking, did my family member ever write to Bob Hope?
Yeah, yeah. And
that's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, yeah. And that's been happening. And so it's, you know, obviously.
Oh, my God. How do you research that, Martha? How do you know?
Well, we try and see if we can find it, but. You know, there are thousands and thousands of letters, but you know, who knows? I mean, we may get lucky and pair one of them, which would be really cool.
Right.
But and then others, you know, will write and say that they know their relative saw Bob, or you know, we meet them and they say, you know, that either you know, themselves or you know, somebody in their family saw one of his shows overseas, and that usually covers all the wars. You know, they'll come up from Vietnam or Korea or you know, the Desert Storm, and they'll say, yeah, you know, I saw Bob and Bob's show, and they'll, you know, they'll write emails and stuff, and you'll get a lot of those, which is great. I mean, just he made such an impression on people that. It's, you know, still this long after his death, people still, you know, they just feel like they owe him so much.
Well, he gave a lot, you know,
he gave
a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean,
absolutely.
did he ever want to be a part of the armed services he couldn't?
Well, when war broke out, he wanted to enlist, and President Roosevelt told him that his services would be better utilized in keeping the morale up. But I'm pretty sure that Roosevelt didn't even realize who he was getting. That you know, he knew he'd do it for World War II, but you know, he didn't know that this is a guy that was going to take that commitment to 50 years.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did.
Right. And be Mr. USO. You know,
exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see now, I know Linda has done a piece where she won. Oh God, what was it? The first 90 years. What was the name of that, Martha?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Bob Hope, the first 90 years. And that was his, you know, that was his birthday show. We did birthday shows, and that was his biggie, you know, the 90.
Yeah.
It was a 3-hour special. And,
right.
She won an Emmy for producing it.
Well, I see that the saying that she's a producer, you're a writer and creator, and I believe you've done movies too. When's the documentary on the book coming, or some kind of docu-something? Something's got to
be
coming in
film. Exactly, yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, we definitely are entertaining that thought, and want that to happen for sure.
Sounds like a plan. I'd love to see it. I have a better chance of watching something than I do a book. I pick up a book, something happens, I put it down. I'm more visual. I need that visual sometimes.
Oh, I hear you.
So I'd love to see that.
I would love that. Yeah, it'd be very moving, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it would definitely be highly watched, I'm sure.
Yeah, it
definitely.
The letters just jump out at you. You know, they're so, and they're funny too. There's funny ones. They're not all, you know, will make you cry. A lot of them will, but a lot of them are funny. So.
Yeah, because you know his name wasn't Bob Hope for just because of it was his name. He gave these guys hope. You know,
his name
was synonymous with what these people needed. And when there wasn't a war going on, he was out there doing it. So, you know,
exactly.
and every Desert Storm. I mean, well, not Desert Storm, you know, I can't even think of the names of them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's been so many.
And even, like you said, even in peacetime, it didn't have to be wartime. He championed their causes. He visited the veterans' hospitals. He, you know, it didn't have to be wartime. He still did it in peacetime, too.
That's right. Well, Martha, I know you're extremely busy with the book right now and with especially Veterans Day. So are you working on anything else that we can be looking forward to other than the possible seeing this invisible and other books in regard to the letters? Anything else going on?
Well, just that, right now we're concentrating on this, but I've got files started with a few other ideas on it on the same kind of concept, but just deciding which, you know, how we can do the next book. So we'll see, but we'll definitely let you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Martha, other than obviously Amazon and anywhere online, people can order books. Do you have a website or anything where people could get the book and find out more about you as well?
Well, I have a website. It's MarthaBolton.com. I don't sell the books there, but they can get them at the publishing house, which is University Press of Mississippi. UPM.com. Mm-hmm. And then also they can get them at bobhope.org/DearBobMore, M-O-R-E. And they can order them there. And also at that site, there are some videos and music and, you know, some special treats for people that go to that site. So that's all afforded there. Yeah, that's a nice little perk.
Yeah, well, oh man, I can't wait to see this now. I'm excited. You got to tell me when it's going to be out. What would you call it? Would you call it a documentary, or what would you call something like this?
Probably a documentary. It would be or a biopic.
Biopic. Maybe that's the word that I was looking for. I knew there had to be another word than a documentary. You know?
They keep coming up with different words, yeah. But I will definitely let you know.
Absolutely. Well, Martha, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. It's a pleasure to speak with you again. And please stay well and good luck and have a great time with the book. And please keep in touch and come on back when you want to talk about anything.
Okay, sounds good, and the same thoughts to you and your family and in life.
And you too, and happy holidays too to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Everybody, Martha Bolton, go check it out. Dear Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondence with GIs of World War II. Get out there and get that biopic out. I want to see that.
I promise We will march ahead.
Oh, nice. Well, Martha, thank you again. Take care. Everybody, Martha Bolton. Thank you, Martha. Have a good night.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Take
you
care.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. I remember last time she was on, we were talking about the book and how, I mean, that's just amazing. Bob Hope was doing that. And to have his last name be Hope, and he was Hope for these people. And just great. Just great. So happy Veterans Day. I know it's a day or a couple days late, not a day or two. Sorry, a couple days late. Then again, she was booked. So, you know, with Veterans Day, with the book, she was pretty busy. So, and the book's doing great. It's doing great. And I would love to see that in a documentary, biopic, anything where I could turn it on and watch it instead of reading. I'm never have time to read. Never. So anyway, congratulations again to Marietta from Roselle, New Jersey, for winning the tickets to the Thanksgiving Comedy Fest over at NJ Pack in Newark, New Jersey. That's the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark, New Jersey. And who's going to be there? That's November 26th. I think it's Lunel Capone, Tony Rock, Earthquake, Smokey Suarez, and I think they're added more people too. But we're going to have tickets to some other great stuff. There's some other great shows coming up. December 5th is Amy Grant. Then you've got Earth, Wind, and Fire, comedian Kathy Madigan, Kashmir, it's a Zeppelin tribute band, Stephanie Mills and the Whispers, George Clinton, a 90s all-star dance concert. That's going to be cool. Vic DiBeto, love Vic. Oh, my God. The Doo-Wop Project and Johnny Mathis and so much more. Those are, I didn't want to jump ahead too far, since there was so many, but just great stuff. So I hope everybody's doing well. I think, are we? What's the? Yes, tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Wednesday. I wasn't sure if we had one more show before Thanksgiving because I'm chilling. Actually, I've got some things going on, so I've got a few dates blocked out here, and I don't know why. Something's up. Oh, no. Yeah, I think that was canceled. All right, guys. Sorry, you're going through my calendar with me here because I've got big X's on the next few days. So anyway, yeah, on Wednesday, the 17th, Larry Strauss will be on with us. He's Charlotte Ray's son from The Facts of Life. He's been on before, too, and he's got a new book out called Light Man, and we're going to talk to him. We had a great conversation. We were talking about at the time, it was pandemic. It's so funny. Everybody, I had this show long before the pandemic, right? The pandemic comes, everybody gets a damn show. And it's like, and they're all run by celebrities. So who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to a celebrity or me? But guess what? They're still listening. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love you. Thank you so much. So, but it's just so weird how that happened. It's like I feel like everything I do, somebody's like right there too. It's like, I don't understand it. I just don't get it. But anyway, Larry Strauss on the 17th will be on. And then I think that's it till the 30th. I think the 30th, we have Lisa Panagos. That's going to be fun. I can't wait to catch up with her. The crazy story about that. Lisa was actually like one of the like first few guests that we had on the show that I initially started with before Applause Radio Show when I was thinking about doing this. And Lisa came on and we met her and fell in love with her, obviously. There's no way you can't fall in love with her. She's so sweet and funny. And the music is great. And she's doing really well. She's got some awards. And they're using her music in some, I believe, TV or movies. So we're going to find out more about that. A lot has happened since we spoke to her. So that's pretty cool. And like I said, I think that we are not going to be on until the 30th. I don't know why these days are blocked out. I have them blocked out for some reason. And what's driving me nuts is I don't know if it's a doctor's appointment or if I was saving a date for somebody. I don't know. It's just been so crazy lately. And so I'll have to double check that. But in any event, we will definitely be on the 17th with Larry Strauss and the 30th for sure with Lisa Penagos. And if you don't listen in by then, I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy your family, your loved ones, and just relax and start taking in the love of the season. This is it. This is when it all happens. Good times. Let the good times roll. Let them knock you around. Yeah. Anyway, what else? What else? That's it. I got nothing for you. I got nothing. We don't usually do a show on a Monday. So it's pretty light over here. So let me wake you up with some music. How's that? Let me wake you up with some music. Here you go. Have a good night. We'll see you on the 17th. Thank you, Martha Bolton, for her new book, Dear Bob, Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondence with GIs of World War II. That's just book one, folks. Can you imagine how many books they could do with all the wars or just bases in general that Bob Hope covered doing his USO show? I have to look into the USO. I got to see what's up with them, who's performing for the troops, and are they even performing for the troops right now, especially with COVID? And because I haven't followed the USO in years, but I got to tell you a weird story if you really want to listen. I don't know if you're listening in or what, but when I was in, I had to be grammar school. I had loved music already. It was playing in my house like crazy. But when I saw the band come to the high school auditorium, for us to go to the high school auditorium as a youngster from one school to the high school, it was like a trip. It was a school trip. And we would walk there. And I grew up in a very small town. It's one square mile. So if you went from one place to another as a group with a school, it was considered a trip, no matter where you went. I mean, we even went over, we'd walk across the bridge to go to the museum in Newark. So that was considered a school trip. So so I'll never forget when we would go over to the high school, and they put on some great stuff. They really did. It was great. Christmas ensembles and choruses they did, and some plays, and they invited the kids from the different schools. And I don't know if they still do that either. I know they don't do that here by me. I don't think they do. I mean, I don't remember them doing it with my kids, but anyway, we went over, and I don't know if it was for Christmas or what, but there was a USO band there, an army band, and I was mesmerized. I think it might have been the first musical act I had seen live. And I said, oh, my God, I just felt it through my body. I said, and from that moment on, I got into music. Like, I just loved it. And just crazy. So that was very inspirational to me. And when Bob Hope was on, I remember watching it for the Vietnam Wars, and that is really, really all I remember about the Vietnam War. I was very young. And then after that, I don't remember many USOs after that. I mean, they were probably on, I didn't watch them, but I don't remember any of them. But I do want to look into that. So, all right, guys, have a good night. Just waking you up with this one. All right, so on the 17th, Larry Strauss. Thank you, Martha Bolton. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Yeah.
be good.